Hey, I'm Robin. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm the lead pastor. Welcome if you're online. This is a church for everyone. And doesn't it seem like everyone struggles with how do I get what I want and not go into financial difficulty, financial pressures because I get what I want? Last week we talked about once in our, and this is the second week of the series, the last week. Next week is Easter. And so get ready for that. And we talked about how you have to begin to balance your money and your wants. And if you remember, I was talking about how they trap these little monkeys in South America. The way they do it is they, the monkeys are playing around in the trees up above, and then the hunters come and they put these little cages down at the base of the trees, and they hang a ball of tinfoil inside the cage. And so it's just there glittering around in the sun, and the monkeys are playing around the trees, and they spot this ball of tinfoil and they want it. So they come down and they look at it and they shake the keg and they can't get it out of there. And what they do is they put their hand through now and they grab that ball of tinfoil and they want it. But when they try to pull their hand outside of the cage, it won't fit back through the bars. And do you know they get so focused on what they want, they don't even see the hunter approaching. And I can get so focused on what I want that is there anything in your life that might be approaching? Nobody plans to overspend on a bunch of stuff and then they can't pay their bills and so they have financial stress. Nobody plans to, go bankrupt. Nobody plans to spend all their money at the first end of the month and have no money at the end of the month. Those things don't happen because of a plan. They usually happen because I don't have a plan. And what ends up happening is what drives me is what I want. And I'm so focused on it. Is there anything that's approaching your life financially and you don't even see it coming because you're so focused on what you want? And then the poor little monkey doesn't even see the hunter coming. And then the next thing you know, complete life change. No more playing in the trees. Now he lives in a zoo. And here's what we're going to talk about today. The whole idea is that you can put together a plan. And if you have a plan, a money plan, it helps you not have financial stress. It's the big idea this weekend. You can have financial peace if you make a money plan. All about having a money plan. And here's a part of the Bible. You may make your plans, but God directs your actions. I don't know if you have a plan for some of the things you want. The problem is with me, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have all kinds of wants. I mean, I have a whole long list of wants. I wish I didn't have wants, but I do have wants. I want a Toyota FJ Cruiser in the worst way right now. Everywhere, and when you want something, you see it everywhere. I mean, everywhere I go, I see an FJ Cruiser. I was like, man, I want one of those things. But I don't. So here's the thing. I could tell you that the wheels and the tires that I'm going to have on the FJ, I know all the accessories, I know the color and the roof rack and everything, but knowing the accessories for the FJ is not a plan. I don't have any kind of a plan to get it at all. But man, do I want one. And I know it'll happen, as it happens all the time with me. I have a list of things that I want, and then when I get something crossed off my want list, I just replace it with another one. I have an endless wants. It can turn into a vicious cycle because, we all like to spend money. Let's just say that. I mean, it feels good to spend money, but then you spend your money, and then you spend too much money, and then you have financial pressure, and now all of a sudden you don't feel good. And so here's the thing. When I don't feel good, you know what makes me feel good again? Spend money. So now I go out and spend money. I don't feel good, and I don't get what I want. So I go out, and I have dinner, and I go to a movie, and I buy a hat or some shoes or a gun or another gun. So it's like, whoa, I feel better now. I feel good now. And then all of a sudden the bills start to roll in. You don't have any money. And then I feel bad again. And the cycle starts all over again. And see, a plan is what gets us out. Listen, here's the way to have financial peace. You have to have some way of knowing what should I spend my money on and what should I not. What should I buy and what should I not buy? Because if you do it based on emotions, you won't have financial peace. This part of the Bible that says you may make a plan, you might make a plan. The truth is a lot of us don't have plans at all to get what we want. Now listen, if I don't get my FJ, if I don't get to trade in my sweet 13-year-old Ford minivan, well, okay, it's not the end of the world, almost. But there are things that I really would like to see occur in my life, and they're tied to my finances, and I need a plan. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Look in your notes. Number one, choose a percentage of your income to live on. So four things today, four ideas right here in church. This is how you put a plan together for your money. A money plan helps me decide what I should buy and what I shouldn't buy. How do I spend and how do I not spend? A money plan. So here it is, right here is the scripture. By wisdom a house is built, through understanding it is established, through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So we don't come from a background of Christianity that says it's wrong to have nice things. It's fine to have nice things. It's great to get what you want as long as you don't get trapped by it. You can have lots of great things that you want. Look at what the Bible says here. Rare and beautiful treasures. An FJ is not rare, but it's a beautiful treasure. And I want one. The problem is I have yet to put together a plan. And of course, nobody ever comes and knocks on my door and says, look what you have from the Lord. Angels are delivering it. No. And do you know the Bible says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick? Here's the translation for that. I become hopeless. If you try to get everything you want, then you have financial pressure because you've overspent. But if you don't get anything that you want, then the Bible says life sucks. Well, it doesn't say that exactly. But it paraphrases that and says your heart gets sick because you don't have everything that you want. And a plan is what does that. And a lot of us don't have it. To live on a percentage of our income, you might think, well, I don't have that planned out. I never do that. Hey, guess what? Here's the news. You live on a percentage of your income every single month because you spend money. There's a percentage of your income that you spend every single month. The question is, are you going to choose the percentage or is the percentage going to choose you? Because I've discovered without a plan, I don't know how I'm spending my money. When I was in junior high school, my grandparents announced to my cousin and I that they were taking us to Disneyland. This was awesome. We're going to spend 5 days road trip. It takes 9 hours for us to get to Disneyland. And then we're going to go to Disneyland 2 times. And here's the big news. Years ago, they gave us each both $5 for spending money. We were just little kids, and so $5. Yes, we jump in the car, and we take off in the morning. I am so excited. I could pee my, and I'm just like, we're going to Disneyland. This is awesome. And I got $5, and we take off on the road. And after a couple hours, my grandfather pulls in to get some gas. And I jump out of the car. I'm going to go look around. And I come back with a bag of potato chips, a Coke, and a candy bar. $1.50. I'm not even 2 hours from home, and I spent 30% of all my souvenir money at some little broken-down gas station in the middle of nowhere. Here's what I've discovered. If I don't have a plan, my emotions drive my spending. Do you remember those old type of candy machines that you pull the little thing on them to get it out? I don't know what it was about that, but I loved the sound of hearing that just and seeing my Nestle's Crunch come down. And I just, and I knew I only had $5, but that didn't matter because my emotions were driving it. Now, a plan, that's something different entirely when you have a plan. If you have a plan for your spending. And I wanted to ask a question. The different things on your want list and you have a plan, what percentage of that should you have in each of the different categories for what you want? The best thing to do is to just kind of sit down at some point and look at your overall income and say, what percentage of that am I going to live on? Now, you might be single here, a young couple today, and you're thinking, oh, I don't need to do that. I got plenty of time like that. Let me tell you something. If you're single, this is the cheapest your life will ever be. It's only going to get more expensive, man. And here's the good news. When you work on a percentage, as your income goes up, so does your lifestyle. But your debt doesn't. Do you know what they call the difference between income and lifestyle? Financial peace. See? You can design the percentage of income that you decide to live on. That's your choice. So what would it be? If you're a couple here, just get together this week and go hang out. Get a babysitter and just sit down and decide what percentage of our income are we going to spend? And you know, in our culture, you can go way past your income. That's called credit. So you can go way past that. When I was in college, I started to date Clarice, and I was putting the hard press on her because I wanted her. And I had just gotten my first credit card. I was really young. I was so proud of myself. I had a credit card. And so I thought, well, the way I'm going to put a little distance between me and these other jamokes that are trying to get her is I'm going to have a credit card, you know? And so I knew she liked Chinese food, which I hate. But anyways, I pretended like I loved it. And we go out to Chinese food. There's this one spot I really liked because the food was so bad, nobody went there, which meant privacy. And so we had a nice big booth, and the Chinese crap food would come out. But, you know, and here's what I my favorite part of the meal is when it came time for the bill to come. Because here comes the Chinese lady out and brings the nasty little cookies. And now she's going to, you know, here's the bill. And my favorite part of it is when I could pull out my wallet and put my credit card down silently. And, you know, act like you've been there. You know? And so you just pull out that credit card and I just set it down. And it was like I was saying to Clarice, welcome to your financial future. All those other guys are looking after you. They don't have one of those. Let me tell you about one of those. She dumped me a month later. She got Chinese, you know, free Chinese food, and I had to pay for all the bills. Now, she came to her senses eventually. But here's what I discovered. Do you know with a credit card, they will alert you when you go past your credit, but not when you go past your income. You can overspend unless you have a percentage. And so what will yours be? That's the first thing. Look number two, track your spending. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. We talked about this last week, tracking your spending. Maybe you did it this last week. You just sit down, you throw all your receipts into an envelope, or you track your spending. Because we all like to spend money. It's an emotional decision. And what happens if you keep a written record is it takes all the emotion out of it. And we buy on emotion. I had a friend that recently learned the Costco lesson. Not too far back, they got to learn the Costco lesson because their friend had a Costco card, so they go to Costco. You know, you're going to go in Costco and pick up a couple different things. You leave with 20 things in a tent, you know. You get home and your wife says, what did you buy a tent for? Well, I'm going camping. You never camp. It's like, well, I'm going to now. And when you go to Costco, they have a display all set up, you know, and it just looks perfect. You know, artificial grass there and lounge chairs, and somebody's giving away a little free hors d'oeuvres. Like, you could have a buffet at Costco, you know, but you pay for that, by the way. My friend came home with all this crap he didn't need. He had like 50 boxes of crackers. I'm starting to laugh. I'm like, you're not even a cracker guy. You're a cookie guy. He didn't like crackers. Oh, I've got plenty of crackers here for every bird in Salt Lake City. I mean, you know, you go into Costco, here comes the emotions. Now, if you track your spending, you have to face that. You have to sit down and face the fact that you went into Costco to spend $25 and you spent a lot. And oh, but I've got crackers. And you know, here's the crazy thing. You really should do it like every month. And here's why. A month is a long time in finances. Do you know one trip to Walmart can completely erase what I learned at Costco? You go into Walmart and you see 10 things right away you need. And now you got 50 boxes of their crackers. See, facing it. There's a children's story called Pay the Fiddler. And it's a story about these people that wanted to have a dance. And so they paid this guy to come and play the fiddle. So he starts fiddling, playing the fiddle, and they're all out dancing, having a big time. And finally he comes over after quite a while and says, hey now, you know, I've been playing the music over there for quite some time. It's time to pay the fiddler. Oh no, Mr. Fiddler, we love dancing. Please play some more music, play some more music. So the fiddler goes back over and he starts playing. Oh, people are dancing a jig, you know, they're having a big, big time. The fiddler finally comes over and says, okay, now it's getting late. It's time to pay the fiddler. Oh, Mr. Fiddler, please, not yet. We love the music. Please, we're dancing, Mr. Fiddler. And so, you know, he goes back over, and they're doing their dances and kind of disco-like meets bluegrass stuff, you know. And so they're having a big, big time. And you know what? You have so much fun dancing, you think it's for free. Unless you track your spending. And so they're just dancing away. They think, you start dancing, you feel, I don't have to pay for this. You don't even remember that the meter's running until the fiddler shows up with a contract and a lawyer and says, guess what? It's time to pay the fiddler. Are you dancing away anywhere in your life with your money? And at some point, the music's going to stop and the fiddler's going to walk up and say, hey, it's time to pay. Now, if you track your spending, you know, you think you'd learn from those big mistakes like Costco. It's like, oh, man, I made a huge mistake. I mean, that's like terrible. Look what the Bible says here. Wise choices will watch over you. So here's what I want to say now. Do you know that it would seem like when I make a bad choice, I become very wise, but it doesn't work that way. Wisdom is built one step at a time. You make a big, huge problem with your finances, and you fix it, and you think, well, I'll be really, really smart now. You're not. Here's what I've discovered. I make a big, 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 big problem in my money, and I finally get it all cleaned up. You know what I want to do? Reward myself with buying something. I mean, think, it's just like working out. Here's the principle. So you want to work out, you want to get in shape, right? And you finally say, I'm going to the gym. Tonight I'm going to the gym. So you get to the gym at 4:30, and you stay at the gym for like 5 hours, like working out and sweating and working out. It's like, wow, man, big problem. It's lots of time at the gym. And then when you go home, you know, you're driving home, you feel so good about yourself, and you're passing by McDonald's. And you think, well, I could stop in for a small fry. I've been working out all night. Yeah, right. I'll have a small fry, please. And a Big Mac. And a Coke. And a McFlurry. And one of those pie things. And then, on your way to the window to pay for it, you think to yourself, well, I'm going to need a double cheeseburger to eat on the way home. And so then when you get to the window, you say, could you just give me a double cheeseburger real quick? So they give you that, and then they give you the bag of all the poison. You know how you do? You roll that up really super tight so it'll stay hot till you get home. You sit the poison alongside you, and you think to yourself, well, I was working out. See, wisdom is gained one choice at a time, not with a big burst decision. If you think you're going to wise up because you clean up a financial mistake, you will not. One choice at a time. Tracking your spending is one choice at a time, and it will make you wise. Number three. Turn your notes over. Let's take a look. Eliminate dumb debt. Just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is the servant to the lender. In all my years of doing marriage and family counseling, I've never had a couple ever come in and say, you know what our problem is? We don't spend enough money. It's never that. And it's still the number one reason that couples hassle is because of money. You start fighting about money, then you start fighting about everything else. Your mother-in-law and those kids and how dare you and your butt's fat now and all the stuff that happens. You know? But it usually starts because of financial stress. Fighting about money. And usually this portion of the money. We usually fight about the debt that we have because now we have money that we spent. We don't have very much to show for it, a bunch of Chinese food that's long gone. We fight about our debt. And here's one thing that I've discovered is I've tried the credit cards and all that stuff, and I've tried to be disciplined, and at some point I had to be honest with myself that I can't manage them. I don't know what it is about plastic when you hold it. It just seems like the money goes on and 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 on. So here's what I do, give you an idea. I use the envelope system. It's an old school system, and I tried recently to switch to new school, high tech, because everybody's always teasing me, old fogey guy, because I'm embarrassed about my envelopes all tattered up. So I thought, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll try the Chase Liquid card. So I went down, got the Chase Liquid card, figured out how to go online, and had a blue card, so awesome, you know, it's just like, and then I started to use my Chase Liquid card and spend different things like that, and then pretty soon I went into the 7-Eleven, which I go to all the time, and it's like declined. That's embarrassing. I'm thought to myself, doggone it, I'm not going to have that happen again. So then I put some more money on my Chase credit card again, and here was the truth, I overspent. Then I had to admit to myself, and I had to admit to Clarice that I overspent, and did I like doing that? No, I am a man. I hate to admit I do anything wrong, but I had to. Now here's the envelopes. Every month I get the money and I go down to the bank and I get the cash and I go home with the cash and I put it in the envelope marked gas and the one marked haircut and my hair costs like $20 and Clarice costs more. And so then you have the food envelope and you have it all in there. And then what you do is you get the envelope out and there's money inside there. And I'm going to go to Taco Time and I'm going to have lunch. You know, so I get a $10 bill out of there. But then I notice towards the end of the month, because it's been the end of the month, man, you are the king. But the end of the month is getting a little thin. You go into the end there and you open up that envelope and a moth flies out, man. There's no more money in there. And so I got $10 left to get the end of the month, and I go, Taco Time or Rock Stars in the morning? It helps me make my choices, see? Now, that may seem old fogey. Maybe you can do it with a debit card. Maybe you can. Maybe you can get a credit card, and you can watch it and everything, but be honest with yourself. Don't pretend. Well, I gave myself $100 to spend, and I came pretty close. I only spent $163. That's not close. The envelope system takes care of debt. Because here's what the scripture says, you will be a slave. And listen now, if you're married, two slaves don't get along well. You know what they, here's what happens. You put two slaves together, and one of them will inevitably blame the other one for the bondage. You're the reason I'm all jailed up in this debt. It was your idea to buy those 7 guns and the 5th wheeler. Well, no, it wasn't. You had to take, oh boy, now we're off. Slaves always fight and try to blame the other person for their chains. You know the best way? Don't even become slaves. Use some kind of a system that forces you to see how much money you're spending. Now that's a plan. Say no to the Taco Time, because I need my rock stars in the morning. And the last one, number 4. Arrange your finances so you can give first, save second, and live on the rest. So what are we saying here? Here's we got 4 different principles today. The big idea, choose a percentage of your income to live on. Track your spending. Number 3, eliminate dumb debt. And number 4, arrange your finances so you can give first, save second, live on the rest. I had some friends that adopted a child from India, very poor part of India. His name was Sundar. And they brought him into their home. He's just a little guy, kindergarten, first grade when he got there. And they did good. He was an author, so they had plenty of cash, man. And so they had other kids, and so they bring Sundar in, and they have him come in, and they start to get his room set up and everything. And they noticed that every time they'd have a meal, that Sundar would eat as much as he possibly could, as fast as he could. I mean, this little kid is just shoveling in the food. His fat, he's got both, she actually said both cheeks are completely filled. He's just shoving this food in there. And they started to talk with him and explain to him, you know, that you don't have to eat that fast, but nothing they did would stop it. And so they discovered after talking to the caseworkers that most of his life he had gone without food. He'd been starving. And whenever he got a chance to eat, he always ate in the shadow of, there may not be enough for me. So he ate as fast as he possibly could, as much as he possibly could. And do you know, I find that I live my life like that sometimes. There's not going to be enough for me. And it makes it very difficult for me to give. Because I'm afraid if I give anything away, there's not going to be enough for me. Last week I talked about giving a $10 bill away, and this entire week I had the $10 bill on my desk. I didn't see one person. I kept waiting, God, is there someone I'm supposed to have a $10 bill? I got to give it away. God, church is coming. I don't want to look like a geek that didn't do that part, you know. And there wasn't one person. God never showed me anybody, so I still have the $10 bill on my desk. I'm like, okay. And you know what the pressure is? Last night when I was on my way home, I had to pass by 7-Eleven, and I had somebody else's $10 bill with me. I was like, it's late. I don't want to go home and make food and everything like that. I just want to grab a hot dog and some chips and a soda and one of those donuts and some chocolate. And, you know, I'll put the $10 back, Lord. But that's not my $10 bill. I decided to give that to somebody. But the problem is I think to myself, but what if I don't have enough? And that was Sundar. He lived his life afraid he wasn't going to have enough. He was living in a mansion with rich people, and every day he lived like, I'm not going to have enough. His mom would go in to put his clothes away in his dresser drawer, and he had taken food, and he'd stashed it away under his clothing to save it for later. The entire kitchen was filled with everything a kid would ever want, and Sundar had taken food and hid it all through his dresser because he was afraid he wasn't going to have enough. And do you know the way you break that is you start to realize that God is your provider. Clarice and I don't give at church here, and we haven't given for all these years because it's a religious practice. It's not a religious issue for us. It's not a church due. And in the service when we receive our giving, that's not your dues for coming here. This is free, actually. It's not dues. We're not trying to pay off God so he'll like us. Do you know why I give? Because I know what it is to just live under the pressure of, but what if I don't have enough? And here's the problem. Your lifestyle will always raise that question. Now, maybe you've noticed that. Doesn't matter how much you get or how much you have. There's always in the back of your mind thinking, but am I going to have enough? And then you can try to save up all your money, and then you just worry, will it be enough? But giving is what breaks that. That's why we give at church. That's why we give to Jesus. That's why I look for opportunities to be generous, because it breaks that hold on us that says, you know, there may not be enough. You may go without. You may have to starve in that area of your life. Giving is what breaks that. And that's why you arrange your finances so you can give. Now, the second one here, it says, save second. I'm not good at this. I've already put myself out there how I can spend money. And so I'm not a great saver, but we started saving for both of our sons' college or whatever they were going to do when they got older, when they were tiny. We put $75 away every single month. I learned this from my grandfather. When I was in elementary school, I went to my grandpa and I said, Grandpa, I want a new golf club. Will you buy it for me? And he was so great. He was a man of few words. He said, no. Grandpa, the other kids have golf clubs and they get stuff. Grandpa, please, won't you buy me a new golf club? No. I said, well, how am I going to get it? He said, well, you're going to save your money and buy it yourself. I had a little job at the baseball park. My job was to chase all the home run balls and the foul balls. I'd go chase all those balls all through the games. I got to watch the game for free, and I'd chase all those balls and bring them back to the umpires, and I got paid a little bit of money every single month. I would go home every night. I'd get my money to my grandfather, and right, he had a big, huge bookcase. He put it all in a jar where I could see it, and then he had a ledger. He made a cardboard ledger, and it was a big, huge one. He set it right next there, and he put a date and deposit. Every single night, I'd deposit that money in there. And do you know that became like a trophy to me? I'd see that money in there growing and that ledger growing, and then the day came where I was able to go to the store with my money, and I bought that golf club. And you know, I threw golf clubs most of my life. I didn't even care. I threw because people buy me golf clubs. I didn't care. But I didn't like throwing that golf club. Because I bought that golf club. That golf club was treated with respect. Because I saved for it and bought it. My son graduated from college this last year, and all the family went, and people came over from Hawaii, and we saw him graduate, and I was sitting there in this big, huge room. Because you know how graduations are. You wait for 9 hours to have 9 seconds of joy. And, you know, and it says, oh, there, you know, there they are. And you can't even hardly see them. But anyways, you're there, and it's exciting. And kind of. So, you know, but here's what was exciting. Here's what was really exciting is when it dawned on me, this is paid for. Dang. All those years from 5 or 6 years old, month after month after month after month. And a good way to do it is just have it come right out of your check. Month after month, we save, all the way through college, gets accepted up to the University of Utah, makes it through school. He's working full time because we didn't want enough savings. We're putting money in. And on the day that he walked, it was paid for. Now, that was a nice feeling. And when he graduated with no loans, saving. Here's what saving is. Funding your future. Jot a note. What future would you like to have? Here's your plan. Save for it. It's not going to come rolling in a white envelope, probably. Some little bird isn't going to knock on the window and say, here's your money. Save for your future. Fund your future. It just takes a little bit. Pretty soon I didn't even miss the money. Do you know we saved thousands and thousands of dollars, and I hardly even noticed it. But boy, it was nice to sit there on that graduation day. And you can too. Now here's the third thing underneath there is live on the rest. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My wife likes this scripture because she likes wine. I hate wine. So here's how I read it. You'll have a lot of food, and your vats will brim over with good beer. So anyways, here's what it's saying. Here's all it's saying to you. You'll have plenty of food, and you'll have plenty of life if you put God first. You save your money. Here's what our culture says. Spend everything you get so you can have what you want. If there's anything left over, save it, which there isn't. And so you won't give anything away. And so you just go around and around. And, I got another thing that I wanted purchased, but I didn't get that thing. And pretty soon, here's where you're really living the whole time. You don't even realize it. Things come and go in your life, and you're right here all the time, so focused on what you want. And that's how, honor the culture, and that's where you'll live. But if you honor God, he says, give first, and he'll always remind you that you'll have plenty. You'll have an abundance. Listen now. Please hear this. God wants to bless you. He wants to abundantly bless. He wants your vats to overfill, whatever the heck a vat is. It's probably pretty good, though. He wants it to overflow. He wants to bless you. Now here's the question. How do I take the first step? And it's the bottom line today. I need power and strength to take the next step. And let me read you something. How do I let go of the wants? I know what it's like not to have what I need. I also know what it's like to have more than I need. I've learned the secret of being content no matter what happens. I am content whether I'm well-fed or hungry. I am content whether I have more than enough or not enough. I can do everything by the power of Christ. He gives me strength. And so these little two-week series, you maybe heard things and you thought, I can't do that. No way. I don't even know how to get started. How do I start saving money when I owe everybody money? You'll need strength. Do you know the best part of Christianity is we're not expected to do it by ourselves? Christianity is designed to be done in the power of Jesus Christ. That's how you get your next step. Of course, you have to make a decision. Do you want to include God in your money? Or is it your money? I'm asking you to consider this. This is how I approach it. It's our money. You gave it to me and we share it. And because of that, you can help me figure out a percentage to live on. And you can help me eliminate the dumb debt, and you can help me keep a record of how my spending is, and you can help me give because I can trust I'll have abundance. You can help me, Lord. You can help me save and honor you with my money. And that's our choice.